After Good Friday, Ash Wednesday is the most somber day on the church calendar. After the Transfiguration, we are told that Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem and everything that would happen there, including his death. On Ash Wednesday, we also turn our faces in the direction of that journey which culminated on the cross. Jesus' death, because of human sin, because of our sin, for our redemption, a season that calls us to sober self-reflection. When I was a child, there was a rhyme that children sang. Ring around a rosy, a pocket full of posy, ashes, ashes, we all fall down, and then we'd all hit the ground. It's a rather morbid song, I thought, for children. Some scholars think that the origins of the rhyme are to be found in the time of the plague, the Black Death. Rosy, fever-stricken faces, pockets of flowers whose scent was supposed to ward off the disease. The ashes of victims cremated to make sure that the pestilence didn't spread. And the morbid reminder that we all fall down in death. For some reason or other, I found myself thinking about this rhyme in the context of Ash Wednesday, the day on which we submit ourselves to the imposition of ashes and hear the words, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." We all fall down. Human mortality is 100%. We were not created simply for life on this earth. Reflecting on our mortality gives us an opportunity to think about what is really important in life. It gives us an opportunity to think about how we shall live this limited time on earth. And the gospel text for Ash Wednesday calls us to specific spiritual disciplines for the whole of our lives, but especially during this somber penitential season of Lent. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, three traditional practices. Now, I think that we all understand that the Christian life must inherently be a life of prayer. God calls us into relationship, and a relationship with no communication soon becomes irrelevant in our lives. And prayer is not just about talking to God, but about opening our hearts and minds to receive from God inspiration and direction for the day. Prayer is both public and private. We engage in communal liturgies in the context of the congregation, and hopefully we also have quiet times of prayer in the privacy of our own homes. We can pray with family or friends, but the spiritual life needs to be nourished by that personal, quiet time with God. Jesus makes a couple of points about prayer worth noticing. I don't think any of us are too likely to go to a busy intersection in downtown Calgary and loudly start praying. But apparently, in Jesus' time, there were those who wanted the world to know that they were praying. Jesus makes it clear that praying is not about looking holy to the people around us, but it's about communion with the Father who sees and responds to the quietest whispered prayer. Jesus also talks about babbling pagans who seem to think that they will be heard if they simply pray long enough. I used to be quite intimidated when I would go to various prayer conferences and meetings and found myself surrounded by people who could pray long and eloquent prayers at the drop of a hat. Now, I'm not necessarily suggesting that they had any bad motivation in these prayers that seemed to go on and on and on, but it was, and it is a relief to me to know that God hears and responds even to my short and sometimes even perfunctory prayers. That when I pray, I don't need to make sure that I explain the whole situation to God. God knows the situation. And when I pray, I don't need to spell out exactly what I think that God should do, because God already has the best plan in mind. Now, just because God already knows, and just because God already has the best plan in mind, I don't think that Jesus is suggesting we shouldn't pray. But this text is a reminder that God's capacity and willingness to respond is not dependent on how good or long our prayer is. Another traditional Lenten discipline is fasting. I'm sure that most of us have made personal choices in response to the question, "What are you giving up for Lent?" And sad to say, I don't think broccoli counts. Fasting, or giving something up for Lent, is a sacrifice. We remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. And in our own small sacrifice, whatever it is that we have chosen, we keep our attention on the reality of sacrifice. In some way, we align ourselves with Jesus, who was willing to sacrifice everything, who made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, who humbled himself and became obedient even to death on the cross. Fasting is an exercise in humility. Giving to the needy is a necessary practice because, as Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. No matter what economic system prevails, the reality is that economic equality simply doesn't exist. Wikipedia tells us that 85% of the world's wealth is held by 10% of the world's population. And even in a country like Canada, there is a homelessness crisis and countless people dependent on food banks and social services to survive. The need is great. The survival of many depends upon our willingness to share. But what is it that makes almsgiving a spiritual act? In Jesus' time, people understood the need to give to the needy. But it seems that some people did it to get attention and to be honored. Maybe like the individuals or companies that donate great sums of money, but they want their name on the building, or at least on a plaque somewhere. What makes almsgiving spiritual is when it is done out of gratitude for the provision that God has made in our lives. That's why when we run a stewardship campaign, it is less about what the church needs and more about responding to God because of what God has given to us. In today's text, Jesus indicates that all three of these disciplines should be secret disciplines, something between you and God. Prayer is not about looking holy to others. Giving is not so that the world can see how generous we are. And about fasting, Jesus says we shouldn't make it obvious to others that we are subjecting ourselves to the misery of this sacrifice. Rather, it's between you and God. With respect to all three of these disciplines, Jesus says that when they are done in secret between you and God, that God will reward you. But I think Jesus would also say that it's not simply about trying to get a reward from God, but rather it's something that happens almost as a matter of consequence. When we engage in spiritual disciplines, our lives are enriched in ways that we can't even imagine. Because God, who knows everything and sees everything, is eager to give good gifts to his children. In a few minutes, you will have the opportunity to receive the imposition of ashes, a public mark of penitence, a reminder of your mortality, a reminder that your life is not just about the life that you live in this world. You will hear the words, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Today is Valentine's Day also. And on Facebook, I saw some suggestions of Valentine's Day cards that put together this strange confluence of Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday. One said, "Remember you are dust, but awfully lovable dust." In this penitential season, we remember the love that led Jesus to the cross. May we enter into this journey and ever draw nearer to him. Amen.